The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Stephen Miller joins the program to discuss potential ways that we could indict the current regime. It's about time we fight back, and he puts the plan forward. Michael Seifert from Public Square joins us to talk about how Target missed their earnings call and more. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is United States Representative Greg Stube, who's now filed articles of impeachment against the traitor Joe Biden. Congressman Stube, thank you for taking the time. Tell us about your articles of impeachment.
Yeah, Charlie, thanks so much for having me. Well, we, you know, with all the different investigations that the House had done, I broke it up into four different articles, and I encourage your listeners to actually read what I filed, because I laid out all the evidence that supports all of these different articles. The first was related to bribery and extortion charges, everything from the payments from Burisma to the millions of dollars. Now we know for a fact, based on the financial subpoenas that the Oversight Committee has done, that there's over $20 million that has been paid to the Biden family. And then we have obstruction of justice charges, articles related to the IRS whistleblowers. And there's evidence now that Hunter and Joe basically shared bank accounts. And so Comer's now going to do subpoenas on Hunter's, his actual bank account. So we'll know more about that. But a lot of these payments that the big guy sent to his son for $5,000 for prostitution, for drugs, for all this different things, if you or I were joining our money to get involved in a prostitution ring or drug trafficking or purchasing cocaine, then we could be charged as well. So I threw that in there as well. There's so much evidence now of the crimes that have been committed. And as you know, the president can't be criminally charged while he's in office. This is the only tool that the House has. I think it's long past time, based on that, all of the evidence that we now have. It's not Russian disinformation. It's interesting. The Democrats started the laptops, Russian disinformation. And now if you watch the weekend shows, guys like Raskin are saying, oh, well, there's no evidence that Joe actually took money. Well, I can tell you, if my wife took $20 million for me to take official votes on Ukraine or something like that, that's still bribery, corruption, and extortion.
Yep, that's exactly right. So you're right. Joe Biden will not be indicted as president. But what you're referencing is actually a longstanding Department of Justice policy. It's not a law. They broke their policy, by the way, when they used to have a policy, an internal DOJ standard, that you do not indict people running for the presidency. So they could, they just won't. But you are correct. Joe Biden will not be indicted by the federal government anytime soon. So let me ask you, this is a really comprehensive document you've put together. People can see it on your official House.gov website, stube.house.gov. What is the kind of cue us in, temperature check with your Republican colleagues? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Are we going to get a vote on this? And most importantly, do you think that this could eventually be approved by the House of Representatives?
Well, let me talk process first, just so people understand how it works. So the Judiciary Committee under the U.S. Constitution has the jurisdiction for impeachment proceedings. So now at this point, my bill will be referred by the Speaker to the Judiciary Committee. It'll be in the hands of Chairman Jim Jordan to make that decision. I'm assuming that the Speaker is obviously going to be involved in that decision as well. And then the Judiciary Committee would complete and go through an actual impeachment inquiry, where we would bring in witnesses based on all of the evidence that we have and go through the inquiry and then have a vote before it would go to the House floor. Now, politically, I've seen comments that Speaker McCarthy have made publicly that he's much more open to an inquiry. In the beginning of this Congress, obviously, it wasn't something that anybody was focused on. They wanted to focus on the investigations and see what evidence comes out of the investigations. And I support that. That's a reasonable conclusion instead of rushing in and making mockery of the impeachment process like the Democrats did the two times that they impeached President Trump. So I understand that. Let's do it the right way. Let's go through the process. But we now have the evidence. He's committed crimes. We have evidence of those crimes. And it's time for an impeachment inquiry to start. It seems as though the Speaker is much more open to it based on the comments that he's made. And now that I've filed these articles, other members are starting to get asked, hey, where are you on impeaching the president? And the articles that I've seen have been all supportive of starting the inquiry. But it takes 218 votes on the floor. But I think of the Judiciary Committee, which they will do a good job if the inquiry does begin, laying the case before the American people. I can't see how a Republican could sit back and look at the evidence of crimes that have been committed and not vote to impeach President Biden.
So in private, you don't have to say any names. What is the prevailing objection you receive from your colleagues that do not want to impeach Joe Biden?
Conservatives all support it. You have your moderates in the House, those that are much more moderate and in moderate districts, maybe districts that Joe Biden won. You know, they say things like I saw the comments that Mitch McConnell made after I filed them where it's, the country doesn't want to go. Let's not divide the country. Well, the country's already divided. They impeached Trump over a phone call. We have actual facts and evidence of crimes that were committed while he was vice president, actions he took while he was president, acting on all the payments that his family members made. It would be dereliction of duty on Congress and the House not to do something with this type of evidence of crimes being committed. I think we can get those more moderate members there when they look at the facts. But obviously, you look at the facts and then there's a political determination that these members have to make based off their districts. But I can't see how you can't vote for an impeachment based on the facts that we have before us. Just taking what happened to President Trump out of this. This isn't a tit for tat. This is facts that we have, evidence that we've collected, corroborating financial evidence of witness testimony. Devin Archer's testimony last week corroborated a lot of these financial documents that we've received and the information that we have. And it's long past time to move forward.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I don't see the counter argument. I mean, some people say, well, it might hurt us in the next election. I'll be honest, Congressman, I'm so sick of hearing that. I mean, how many times do we have to restrain our courage just because it might hurt us in the next election? I think that our voters are not going to show up for us if we do not act with conviction. Your reaction?
I agree 100%. I mean, just look what happened when Paul Ryan was Speaker. I wasn't elected to Congress yet. I came in 18. And the American people put Republicans in charge because they said they were going to get rid of Obamacare. They were going to fix immigration and the border and all these issues. And they didn't do it. Because they, it was a strong conservative issue and they didn't want to put their moderate members on the board and they lost the House because of it. We lost the House because we didn't go up there and say we were going to do what we were going to do. And the American people have put Republicans in charge, albeit by a small margin, but we have the gavels right now. We have the power in the House right now. There's overwhelming evidence of the corruption of this White House, the complete weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI, and it's time to act. And you are exactly right. If we don't act, and we turn a blind eye to all of this because, like what McConnell said, we don't want to divide the country and we don't want to, cause problems and that kind of thing, or whatever his quote was, that he didn't think impeachment was good for the country right now. We're going to lose the majority in 2024. And what we have to do right now is hold the majority in the House, take the majority in the Senate and win the White House in 24. Or I feel very afraid of the future of our country with another 4 years of Biden.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, there's this question of why is our base, why doesn't our base show up in kind of one-off elections? You know, the question of Ohio and all this when Trump is not on the ballot. You know, and I think you know this, that our most loyal voters have lost total faith in D.C. Republicans, you being excluded, obviously, with your boldness introducing this article. Do your colleagues realize how hated they are by base Republicans currently?
You know, I think conservatives obviously realize where the base are. They know where the base is. It's interesting. If you go into a moderate Republican district, how they feel that they have to capitulate their principles to the Democrats or, yep. you know, all these different policies, progressive policies. And that's not what they got elected to do.
Yeah, I just it's really maddening to me. We don't have an opposition party, but you are one of the few that is standing. Let me tell you about a company I love that embodies the spirit of freedom and innovation, Christensen Arms. Christensen Arms makes its rifles right here in America. But it's not just about how they're made. The company is a true leader in firearm technology. Christensen Arms invented the carbon fiber barrel back in 1995, and today their state-of-the-art barrels continue to provide unmatched accuracy for everyone out there exercising their Second Amendment rights. Their innovation doesn't stop at the barrel, though. Christensen also pioneered an ingenious new carbon manufacturing process called Flash Forge Technology, or FFT, to deliver the lightest and most durable rifle you'll ever own. As a Christensen Arms rifle owner myself, I could proudly say these rifles are heirloom quality, so you can pass down a lasting legacy of freedom and true American craftsmanship for generations to come. So, my fellow patriots, join me in supporting Christensen Arms. Visit ChristensenArms.com/Kirk or use promo code Kirk during checkout to get an exclusive 15% discount on apparel and accessories and to check out their incredible lineup of rifles. Christensen Arms, defining the future of firearms and keeping America strong. Ron DeSantis has fallen in third place. Vivek Ramaswamy is ahead of him in some polls, and Chris Christie is ahead of him in New Hampshire. I think Ron DeSantis is America's greatest governor, and he's been running a disappointing presidential campaign. I don't like when people don't perform their best. I don't like when good governors start to really not excellent on the national stage. Congressman Stubbe, you endorsed Donald Trump instead of Governor DeSantis, and you were with President Trump in Iowa this last weekend. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. You know, you read polls, and the polls in Iowa, I think, have Trump ahead by 20 points. Polls nationwide in Florida have him ahead by 30 points. Polls in my district have him ahead by more than 20. But it's a different reading of poll, and it's very different being there with that crowd. And we were at a pork chop station, and I was standing next to a guy flipping pork chops with the president next to me. And I asked him, hey, you know, I know Governor DeSantis was here earlier today. Was there a similar crowd? And he's like, the guy at the stand was like, there's no comparison. There was 118,000 people at the fair that day. When we drove in the motorcade, there was 12 blocks of people trying to get in. And everywhere the president went, he was completely surrounded by thousands upon thousands of people. Very different reception from what Governor DeSantis got. While Governor DeSantis was at that same pork chop tent that I was at, people started chanting, "We want Trump, we want Trump." So I'm a Floridian, so getting out to another state and seeing that is very interesting to me. I would expect that here in my district and in Florida, but to see that in Iowa on full display is just shows the complete level of excitement and support that President Trump has.
Yeah. So in your district in Florida, would you say that President Trump has more support than Governor DeSantis currently?
Yeah, 100%. We did a poll a couple months ago, and I think he was ahead 25 points, 20 points. So I represent all of Sarasota County, Charlotte County, and the northern part of Lee County. It's not close at all, which is interesting being from Florida, because you would think that, look, people support the things that Governor DeSantis has done as governor. But when you put DeSantis up against Trump, there's just no comparison.
Yeah, and so this primary is unfortunately going to get nastier before it actually comes to some form of completion. You know Governor DeSantis pretty well, or you're obviously in the same state as him. What advice would you have? Do you want to see him keep running? Some people are saying he should just go become a terrific governor of Florida and not continue to muddy the waters and spend $1 billion unnecessarily.
You know, at this point, you would, putting my political hat on, you would look at this. Since he got in the race, you would think his numbers would be increasing, and they're dramatically decreasing. I think to save political capital, it would be wise to get out and endorse and support President Trump, just given the numbers, because the longer your campaign languishes, and I think the DeSantis campaign is now thinking, well, these debates that are coming up, that could be the turning point. They were hoping that Iowa would be the turning point, and it turned out to be very bad for their campaign. So you get through the debates, and that's not a turning point. And the numbers keep going down. At some point, you need to save face. He just got, he hasn't even been a year in reelect. He just got elected last year to governor for a 4-year term. I would have hoped that he would have concentrated on the great state of Florida and the things that they were doing here, support President Trump, and then he'd have a couple of years after President Trump and he could run, because Trump only has one more year. But I'm not giving him political advice. Somebody else is. But at this point, with the way that the numbers are going for him, I would think that the best thing politically to do to save some face and some political capital and some appreciation, so that we don't have this division within the Republican Party. It's clear, if the election were held today, Donald Trump would win overwhelmingly. I don't see that changing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see that changing. And Iowa is less than 5 months away.
Greg Stube, excellent. And we support your effort to impeach Joe Biden 100%. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, they're celebrating over 80 million pillows sold. Mike Lindell with MyPillow wants to thank you by giving you the lowest price in history on their MyPillows. You'll receive a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. Regular price is $69.98 and just $10 more for a king size. With this special anniversary offer, you'll receive a deep discount on all MyPillow products, such as their bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Kirk to receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Receive this amazing offer on the queen-size MyPillow. Let's support my friend Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Very important guest, Stephen Miller, joins us. Stephen, thank you for taking the time. You tweeted, quote, "A Republican DA could indict both Biden and Mayorkas for human trafficking." Explain.
Well, it's an open and shut case. So if you look at what has happened on the southern border since January of 2021, you have both a conspiracy to violate the laws of the United States, so a systematic conspiracy by Biden, Mayorkas, other officials in the government, Garland would be involved in some of this here too, to violate the immigration laws of the United States, to enable illegal immigrants and the human traffickers and drug cartels who manage the border to bring in limited numbers of people and contraband into the United States. And so you also have the suspension of ICE interior enforcement. So most criminal aliens and virtually all illegal aliens are now exempt from ICE enforcement. And so ICE is not able to arrest the overwhelming number of illegal aliens that it would encounter on a daily basis, including those who are presently incarcerated or prison or jail. So it's a vast, far-reaching conspiracy to immunize human traffickers and criminal cartels from the federal laws of the United States. So you could both charge human trafficking, you could charge a conspiracy to defraud the United States because of the lies that have been told to Congress and furtherance of the conspiracy. You could charge seditious conspiracy because obviously this represents an attack against and an assault on the very existence of the United States itself. You could charge deprivation of civil rights because you're violating the 14th Amendment rights of all American citizens. And then you could also probably do a RICO charge as well, based on the fact that you have had this vast scheme involving all these predicate acts in order to perpetrate this offense against the United States, which, again, is the RICO statute is all about combining all of these acts as part of a continuing conspiracy. So easily you could stitch together all these offenses to have, basically hundreds of years in prison if you were to put them side by side.
We must understand, we are in the middle of an active measure unlike anything deployed in America before. An active measure. This is an active psychological, legal, cultural, and political blitzkrieg, a culture revolution that started from 15 days or so. The spread, it hasn't stopped. Stephen Miller, you're suggesting here real tangible indictments that could happen. Who? Local DAs on the Rio Grande Valley, Texas, who could bring forth these indictments?
So,
tell us.
The statutes I mentioned, of course, are federal statutes. Then obviously you have local statutes that apply to all manner of, you know, smuggling, trafficking, child abuse, child endangerment. There's a number of statutes that would apply on a local level too. So you both have a predicate for any local DA to file charges, as well as the predicate for a Department of Justice in 2025 to do the same. And it's important to note here that if you look at, for example, the Georgia case, you have a prosecutor in that case who is citing as facts or asserting, claiming as facts in an indictment, events that incurred, you know, thousands of miles outside of the of Fulton County. So following that that same precedent, even if many of the facts and many of the allegations in the indictment occurred far out of your precinct, that wouldn't be a hindrance at all, as long as you have a single asserted victim in your precinct. So basically, anywhere in the country where there's been a single victim of any crime related to what's happened both in our southern border and with the decimation of ICE. The rest of it just involves all the other elements of the conspiracy that could have happened anywhere from Washington, D.C. and beyond. So anybody could do it, really.
Well,
any prosecutor.
I mean, you look at the map of Texas, there's no lack of counties is what you're saying. I mean, you're talking about all across the southern border or the adjacent counties, you could find a DA or a sheriff. And so are you recommending, Stephen, that we indict a sitting president or at least the head of DHS? I'm totally open for it, by the way. I think that we should have multiple counties come together and start indicting them for human trafficking. All the stuff you just said, I don't see any counter argument against it, especially given now that local DAs basically can act as roaming prosecutors against political dissidents.
Yes, that's clearly the precedent that has been established,
yes,
that's been set. Except the difference here, of course, which is an important one, is that in the Georgia case, you have innocent people being charged with the crime of speech, thought, and regular political activity. In this case, you're talking about filing charges for what really amounts to the largest human trafficking and child trafficking operation in modern history, with dead bodies piling up all over the place. The border is basically a war zone. I mean, you have, and you've talked
100%.
About it, people read about it, and we know how many people are dying on both sides of the border as a result of this. So it really is one of the most, you know, one of the most sinister things that's been done in American history, what's happening on the border right now. I would also make the point that there's a long list, a long, long, long list of chargeable crimes on a whole host of fronts. So let me give you another example. Using the theory in the Georgia case, all of the politicians on the left who have conspired for years to obstruct voter ID, who've conspired for years to obstruct citizenship verification, who've conspired for years to obstruct any effort to engage in meaningful review about the validity of ballots, to clean voter rolls, to purge from the voter rolls lapsed voters are not domiciled in the states anymore. You could easily come up with a wide range of criminal charges related to the systematic effort to sabotage election integrity. And again, you could apply both the RICO statute under this new precedent. You could also, again, do in a federal context, you could do civil rights charges, conspiracy charges, and so on. Same would apply to those involved in the censorship of American speech in 2020 and beyond. Obviously, that's a conspiracy to deprive Americans of their civil rights. The same would apply to all the individuals involved, as many others have pointed out, in the Russia hoax, all the individuals involved in shielding the public from knowledge about the Hunter Biden laptop, which is also election interference. I mean, again, this is a you start adding all this stuff up, there would be hundreds of criminal cases.
Well, that's what we need. We need a blitzkrieg. We need to flood the zone. We need the kitchen sink. Playtime is over. If this overwhelms you, resign. So this is interesting. While you were going through that, Stephen, so let's just go through it. The DA in Starr County, Texas, in Webb County, Texas, in Maverick County, Texas, Kinney County, Texas, in Valverde, Texas, Terrell, Texas, Brewster, Texas, Pecos Town, I'm mispronouncing that, Presidio, Jeff Davis, Hudspeth. These are all border counties. I don't know if all their DAs are Republican. I'm sure some of them are, or they're open-minded for the rule of law. And so, Stephen, let's just play this out specific. Let's just take Starr County, Texas, right on the border where human trafficking occurred, enabled by Mayorkas and Joe Biden. Are we saying that Starr County, Texas, I don't know who the DA is, and I don't mean to pick on that person, but you know they're going to probably become very famous soon because now they're being mentioned on our show. Whatever, you could pick any one of these, right? Hidalgo or Cameron. Are you suggesting that that local DA begins an investigation and indicts the sitting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security?
What I'm saying is that under the legal precedent that have been established, they could absolutely convene a grand jury, begin interviewing witnesses, sending out subpoenas, and ultimately that could culminate in the grand jury voting to indict a number of federal officials, up to and including the President of the United States, particularly because all of the post-January 6th precedents have all thrown out and continue to throw out presidential immunity.
Yes.
And a further point on this is that a lot of the left-wing legal opinions are saying, well, anything that's done that we argue or that we think is being done because it helps you in an electoral sense, we're now saying it's a special carve out from executive immunity, presidential immunity, and all the other immunities that would apply. And so under that same theory, everything that the left is doing on immigration is clearly for their intended electoral benefit.
Yes.
Everything they're doing on voting laws and administration is clearly intended for their electoral benefit. Everything they're doing on censorship, same applies. And so you go down the list. I mean, look at the student loan bailout that Biden did, clearly intended for his electoral benefit. That's $500 billion in fraud, mm-hmm. in violation of federal law. And, you know, you can even go back in time to everybody involved in DACA, which was done right before the midterms in 2012, before the general election in 2012, which is still in effect to this and has resulted in completely illegal and the largest minor smuggling operation in American history. So, but to answer your original question, I mean, clearly there's more than a sufficient factual predicate to convene a grand jury and begin issuing subpoenas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no lack here. I mean, you look at Texas, and just looking at the map of the counties of Texas, we have dozens of counties that are some of the reddest counties in the country where these crimes have occurred. And they should say, look, we're not being political, but the new standard is this. DAs are now empowered to go after leading presidential candidates and their allies. And let's just be very clear. Even at the worst accusation against Donald Trump, you say, oh my goodness, you know, he was trying to subvert democracy, blah, blah, blah. Hold on a second. They are actively involved in having cartel members, guns and drugs being trafficked into the country to change the electoral composition and change the demographics of a country, and you're illegally trafficking them. Why is the right afraid of this? Why has this not happened before? Why does it take two of us to kind of figure this out? What's going on?
Well, I think that the most polite answer I could give would be to say the following, which is that conservatives want nothing more than to be able to live in a country in which people can disagreeably, everybody can be friends, people can all agree on the fundamentals, the basics. George Washington is great. James Madison is great. We can all be friends and we can all be happy and we can all work at a small business and everything can be wonderful and great. And they do not want to accept mm-hmm. or acknowledge the fact or the reality that that country is gone. It's been gone for a while and that they're facing a political movement that seeks to destroy and annihilate everything that they care about.
You're reading off our song sheet.
And it'll all be over. But they'd rather live in their dream
yes.
until they are deprived of any possibility of not seeing the horror that's happening face the horror before it's too late.
Most Republicans are no different than trans activists. They live in a delusion. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Michael Seifert is with us. Download the Public Square app. Play Cut 73.
On a call with media, Target CEO Brian Cornell pointed to macro pressures, including inflation, for tempering sales, but also, quote, negative guest reaction to our Pride collection. He also continued to say negative reaction to our Pride assortment and added, after adjusting mid-quarter to address safety concerns, the business recovered steadily in July. We wanted to make sure we're focused on the safety of our teams and the safety of our guests. Once we took those actions and addressed the situation, we certainly saw things normalize.
Yeah. Safety. Somehow, like, you guys are under attack. You guys are groomers. You guys empowered groomers. Target was all about the predatory behavior of children. They enabled it. Michael Seifert, Target is on the run. Your reaction?
Well, it's sad when businesses actually no longer care about profits. They're more committed to their ideological indoctrination of the next generation along perverted lines than they are on providing quality business. Because the crazy thing about that earnings call with analysts, with Brian Cornell, the CEO, as well as the chief growth officer and the CFO, is that they all doubled down. In fact, Brian Cornell said, and I quote, that they would still continue to celebrate Pride and other heritage months, but that the company would be more mindful of timing, placement, and presentation. And the chief growth officer said that this reaction is a signal for us to pause, adapt, and learn, but that they're still going to celebrate inclusivity and celebration of these Pride heritage holidays. They're just going to try to do it with more broad-based appeal. So these companies have learned nothing. Target, obviously, is the most recent example of that, but that goes for Bud Light as well. That's Ben and Jerry's. That's Listerine. The list seems endless these days of companies that are more committed to their ideological position than they are on providing good business. So I think that what we are seeing right now is just the beginning of further decimation of Target's top line, but that ultimately these woke policies throughout their company will affect the bottom line as well. It's not a good day over at
Target. I agree. So Michael, I got a challenge for you. What is the pro-American competitor to Skittles? Skittles comes out with trans Black Lives Matter. The media, this is how the media frames it, literally on the packaging. Skittles' new packaging for Pride is enraging the anti-LGBTQ plus right. These people are exhausting. So what do we have a competitor yet, a public square of Skittles, the non-woke Skittles?
We've got about, oh yeah, actually go to public square, search candy, and you should find over 30 different options. In fact, there's one, I can't remember the name of the company, but there's one that somebody just referred to us the other day. They joined the platform, and apparently it's like a healthier version of literally Skittles, made without the dyes and the high fructose corn syrup, et cetera. So we've got some amazing businesses on the platform. Check it out. And that goes for pretty much any industry you're looking for. When Ben and Jerry's went woke and decided to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever, even though they are on, quote, stolen land and yet wouldn't give it back up on July 4th, we actually highlighted some amazing ice cream companies on our platform, one of which out of Tennessee called Katie's Ice Cream experienced a record day of profits in response to the Ben and Jerry's backlash. So the money is moving. Consumer spending is shifting, and we're glad to be at the tip of the spear.
Yeah, Skittles said Black Trans Lives Matter. By the way, Skittles is really bad for you. It's like pure poison. So they're just giving you a reason not to take it. Literally on their packaging, Black Trans Lives Matter. So we're starting to see the change in the parallel economy, but must keep the pressure on. How's Every Life going? Remind our audience about it, Michael.
Yeah, check out everylife.com. We are the nation's first and only unashamedly pro-life diaper company. They're high-performing diapers and wipes for every little miracle. We created this company in response to what we learned last year was a overwhelmingly pro-abortion baby care market, which makes zero sense morally or economically. It would be as if me saying, you know what? I want to start a shoe company for men, but in order to advance my product lines, I'm going to have to advocate for the termination of men. It makes no sense. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a baby brand that is pro-life, pro-family, and believes that every child is a gift from above that deserves to be protected and celebrated. And Every Life is going pretty phenomenally. In the first 19 days of our Every Life launch, this brand did over $300,000 in sales from consumers that are very excited about putting purpose behind their purchases. And I would actually encourage folks, in response to the Maui fires, head to everylife.com. If you partner with us in our Buy for a Cause program, you actually have the opportunity to match donations with us to a church in Maui called King's Cathedral that's donating diapers. Already in 48 hours, we've been able to donate over 33,000 diapers to families in need in Lahaina, specifically after these devastating fires. So we're trying to put our money where our mouth is in Every Life.
Every Life is doing more for the babies of Maui than Joe Biden. God bless you, Michael Seifert. Download the Public Square app. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.